You're back with Financial Focus Radio with Northwest Quadrant Wealth Management, a registered investment advisory organization. Don't forget to sign up for our free e-newsletter. Every 2 weeks, our latest thoughts on the market, investing, are delivered to your inbox at no cost or no obligation. To get on the list, send me an email at troy@nwqwealth.com. Just let me know you want to be placed on the mailing list. And it wasn't something you had to read this week. It was actually, you got to hear our voice, didn't you?
Tom? Yeah, we did a conference call with clients. It was about 18 minutes or so of Troy and I bloviating without commercials. Imagine that.
What more could you ask for? All right. Well, we have a guest with us today. Her name is Ann Chapman. She is an attorney in Portland. And welcome to the show, Ann.
Thank you.
Why don't you, for the benefit of our listeners, why don't you tell them a little bit about yourself and what you do in your firm?
Well, I'm a practicing bankruptcy lawyer. We practice in downtown Portland. I've been practicing with Bob Vandenbos, who associated with him since 1985, and I've been his partner since 1992. We have a unique firm in the Portland area. We do both the larger reorganizations in Chapter 11, and we also do the smaller Chapter 13 reorganization for the wage earner or small business owner. And, of course, we also do the Chapter 7 liquidations, big or little, whatever needs to be done to wind down a business with some dignity. Or 90% of the cases that are Chapter 7s that are filed in our district are individual cases filed by people that earn wages or have businesses that have failed. And 90% of those are what we call no-asset cases. But we do assist people prepare for that kind of a filing. There's some things that can be done prior to filing a bankruptcy. We call it pre-bankruptcy planning. As long as it's done honestly and openly and in a disclosing way on bankruptcy schedules where required, a lot of folks can benefit from coming in to see a bankruptcy lawyer before they're in an absolute complete crisis, try to position themselves in the best way possible so they can obtain a fair discharge of debts that are dischargeable and emerge from bankruptcy with a fresh start and some assets to boot. If it's done properly, that's the way to do it.
Well, as we went through this recession, and this recession was the catalyst for lots of people to go through bankruptcy, or they're now facing bankruptcy, and you've been practicing for a fair amount of time. Was this time sort of different? Did people head toward bankruptcy for different reasons than they have in the past?
Well, you know, we really sort of have seen a different kind of client, and this has been a lengthier recession. I think that bankruptcy is really one of the hallmarks of a healthy capitalist system. In order to have a healthy capitalist system, you really have to find a way to efficiently deal with people that have met their limit for whatever reasons. Potentially, you know, they're not sure how to run a business, they take a risk, it doesn't pay off. Or in this particular circumstance, we've had a number of economic factors dovetail so that we've ended up in a position where real estate markets have stayed depressed for a long period of time, pension accounts have taken a real hit, and then we've had this jobless recovery, if you want to call it that. So people can't really, a lot of high-income earners that we're seeing now have sort of hung on as long as they can. They've dissipated pension accounts. They've tried to sell their houses. And so we're seeing a more sophisticated client never in their wild dreams would have imagined they'd ever be talking to bankruptcy lawyers.
And a lot of those people, did they get themselves – I mean, we see it in Ben too. A lot of those people get themselves in that situation with – I mean, when the money was free, everybody was taking it hand over fist. And I mean, any great recession is because of too much easy money. And were those people just leveraged too much to the hilt?
Well, you know, many of them were. Many of them were not really investors. They, you know, I had a number of directors in Bend that had to file. They got involved in development projects. And, you know, in years past, if you think about it, in the 50s and 60s, you know, I came back from World War II, and you had people come back into their communities and build communities. And, you know, they're in every small town in America. You know, I come from a small town in Minnesota. My father was a prominent lawyer there. And he was good friends with banker and with the hardware store owner. And these people were the backbone of the building of America. And back in those days, the banker sort of knew who he was dealing with, and they knew the projects. And they'd say, you know, I think you're doing a little bit too much, too fast. But, you know, with the globalization and the big bank syndrome, we don't have that hands-on kind of thing anymore, and it's really in many ways a tragedy, and I think it's a lot of what's led up to this point.
Those are what they used to call the C's, collateral, credit, and character, and the mm-hmm. character part is not part of the equation anymore.
Doesn't seem to be.
So are you saying that maybe society, or because of globalization or banks getting big and the character part being out, that we as society lost some of our understanding of what money actually was and how to manage it?
I don't think there's any doubt about that. I mean, I think what happened is, started with the credit card. People, back in the day, I was raised by Depression-era parents, and I was taught about layaway. If you want something, you put aside $10 a month, you take it down to the store, and they hold your money. And so I learned a lot about having some kind of space between when I saw an item and when I purchased it, and I had a physical experience. Take the money out of my wallet, do my chores, collect my money, walk down to the store, hand over the money, part with it, and delaying that gratification. And in this culture, it's not profitable for the credit card industry to have people delay gratification, so we've made it easier and easier and easier for people to buy things that really, in many cases, they don't need, and to delay payment on those goods and services they might purchase by putting them on the infamous minimum payment that would never pay off the debt. In some cases, it's negative amortization. And basically take any kind of connection between someone's physical experience in the world, i.e. I go to my desk, I work 8 hours, and I have to part with my money. But they don't really sense of consciousness about parting with their money. And so we've really lost, one, some basic financial education in our high schools. And you've got a generation of parents that in many ways never learned finance themselves, so they don't know what to teach their children. And three, I need it now, I want it now, I see it on the TV, I can go to Target and I can put out my card and get it, and then I'm not even sure when I pay for that item because I'm just making that minimum payment on my credit card. There's a disconnect between physical labor in the world and having an item in your hand.
You're listening to Financial Focus with Northwest Quadrant Wealth Management, and our guest today is Ann Chapman. She's a bankruptcy attorney in Portland, Oregon. When people come in, because you're right, the bankruptcy process is a very important part of our capitalist structure, and used properly, it's a good thing. Do people, though, when they – we've talked about how we've sort of lost track, and you were going over how money works and credit and those kinds of things. How hard has that changed? Because all those flexibility, being able to use your credit card or ATM, use your house as an ATM, goes away when you file bankruptcy. How do those people react? Does that make your job harder?
I'm not sure I understand your question.
Well, do people just like go, well, how am I going to live if I don't have credit? I mean, learning to live within their means?
Oh, absolutely. There's panic. In many cases, there's literal panic because without a doubt, in every first meeting with a client who's got a credit card on their bankruptcy schedules, I will tell them, or on their intake form for me that will become part of their bankruptcy schedules, I will say, you must stop using credit now. Everything we discuss in this office is protected by the attorney-client privilege, so you need to tell me everything, and I don't have to tell anybody what you said. So there's a sacred bond and a trust here. You need to tell me everything so I can help you. That being said, the first day you come and see me, and I'm a known bankruptcy lawyer, I've been doing this for 26 years, even though I can't find out what we've discussed, they know that you've come to see me. And 9 times out of 10, when someone's talking to me, they're talking about a bankruptcy possibility.
All right. Well, thank you for being with us,
Ann. Yeah, thanks. That was great information.
And our guest today has been Ann Chapman. She's a bankruptcy attorney in Portland, Oregon. You're listening to Financial Focus Radio on KBND 1110 Bend, Freedom 970 in Portland, and KJDY in Grant County. Stick around. It's your emails next.